بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين وأفضل الصلاة وأزكى التسليم على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وعملا الحمد لله على كل حال ونعوذ بالله من حال أهل النار اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد وبارك وسلم قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله يمسك السماوات والأرض أن تزولا ولئن زالتا إن أمسكهما من أحد من بعده إنه كان حليما غفورا وبشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن شاء الله. As we normally discuss the beautiful attributes, characteristics, صفات of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the early morning of today, the two attributes that we will touch upon are very comprehensive attributes, and some scholars even say that all attributes go back to these two, meaning that every single attribute rely on these two attributes themselves. There are ahadith that say that these specific attributes are mentioned in specific places in the Quran, in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in a hadith that these are something that we call al-ism al-azam, meaning that these are the greatest names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Idha du'iya fastajab wa idha su'ila a'ta, meaning that if someone were to make dua using these names, indeed his dua will be accepted, and if he were to ask, indeed he would be given. So we search for these very small pearls that are left for us from the knowledge of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because we are in extreme need, we are in a constant need. This is why in Surah Fatiha every single day we say Iyyaka na'budu wa Iyyaka nasta'in, demonstrating our need, demonstrating our reliance, and demonstrating our absolute complete dependence upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these are the names of Al-Hayy Al-Qayyum. Al-Hayy and Al-Qayyum. There are certain attributes from the many attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which are paired together because they go together. One helps out with the meaning of the other. For example, Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. Or Ya Sami' Ya Basir. Or for example, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum. Also Ya Mannanu Ya Hannan. Or Ya Ahad and Ya As-Samad. Or Ya Wajid and Ya Majid. These are names that are paired together because of their meanings, and they support one another in explaining the other. So let us first go through where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses these beautiful names in the Quran. The word Al-Hayy, the meaning of Al-Hayy, and we'll get to this, means the ever-living, or the all-living, or the perfect in his living, in his existence. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of this specific name 5 times in the Quran. 2 times by itself, and 3 times paired with Al-Qayyum. As for the first time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this name, Al-Hayy, this is in one of the most famous ayat in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Ayatul Kursi, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa Al-Hayyu Al-Qayyum. This is the most famous place that Al-Hayy is mentioned, and Al-Qayyum. The second place is the second ayah of Surah Ali Imran, Alif Lam Mim, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyu al-qayyum. Similar to Ayatul Kursi, the first part. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyu al-qayyum. And the third place that al-hayy and al-qayyum come together is in Surah Taha, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعَنَتِ الْوُجُوهُ لِلْحَيِّ الْقَيُّمِ, that on the day of judgment, the heads will be bowed out of humility to the ever-living and the self-sustaining, or the all-sustaining. وَعَنَتِ الْوُجُوهُ لِلْحَيِّ الْقَيُّمِ. The two places that Al-Hayy come by itself. This is in Surah Ghafir, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هُوَ الْحَيُّ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ فَدْعُوهُ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He is the ever-living, هُوَ الْحَيُّ, there is none worthy of worship except Him, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ فَدْعُوهُ, so call upon Him, مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ, sincerely. And the last one is in Surah Al-Furqan, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى الْحَيِّ الَّذِي لَا يَمُوتُ وَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِهِ وَكَفَى بِهِ بِذُنُوبِ عِبَادِهِ خَبِيرًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that rely upon the ever-living. وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى الْحَيِّ الَّذِي لَا يَمُوتُ, the one that would never die. So let's start with understanding ever-living. Now, this is a concept which it's hard for an imperfect mind to understand. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us in a temporal existence, which means that He has created us with the understanding of a beginning and an understanding of an end. Meaning that there was a time when we did not exist, and there will be a time where we don't exist. But this aspect of a beginning and an end applies to creation. This is why we call it a temporal existence. But you see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lies above the realms and the dimensions of this dunya, which means that while we are bound by time, by existence, and by limitations, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is far above that. If we exist in time, then Allah is the creator of time, which means that time does not bind Him. Time does not bind Him. And why is it so difficult to understand? Because if we were to, you know, attempt to understand, for example, where did I come from? Where was I born? My father, then my father, then my father, my grandfather, my great-grandfather, going all the way back. Well, then who created my father? Who created my grandfather? Okay, it goes all the way back to Adam alayhi salam. Well, who created Adam alayhi salam? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, what would be the next question that someone would ask at this juncture? Who created Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes mention of this very question in a hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَا يَزَالُ النَّاسُ يَتَسَاءَلُونَ حَتَّى يُقَالْ هَذَا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ الْخَلْقِ. That people will be in constant questioning, or people will be in constant conversation or debating or skirmishes, or they will keep talking until, meaning about the creation and the creation. And then, حَتَّى يُقَالُوا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ الْخَلْقِ. Allah created the creation. فَمَنْ خَلَقَ اللَّهُ. Then who created Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that when you arrive at this question, فَمَنْ وَجَدَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ شَيْئًا فَلْيَقُلْ آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ. At this moment, when you get to there, say, I believe in Allah, or I rely upon Allah. Because this is a waswasa of shaitan. This is a waswasa of shaitan. Because we are trying to understand a perfect being with an imperfect structure of a mind. And let me show you the imperfections that our mind has. For example, if I were to ask you, right, using your eyes, for someone who's corrected 20/20 with their vision, glasses or without glasses, what's inside of this masjid? What is between the walls of these? Just these four walls. You can tell me easily. You can look over there. There's a person sitting over there reading Quran. There's a person reading salah. There's a person waiting for salah to start. There's a person, you know, chit-chatting with one of his friends. That's very easy. But what if I told you can you tell me what's behind the wall? Or can you tell me what's going on the sister side? With your eyes, you wouldn't be able to tell me that, because you obviously don't have x-ray vision or some type of vision where you could see past that. But even that, if there was an open land, even then the eye has limitations. The cells in the eyes have limitations in terms of contrast, discerning one thing from another. It gets to a certain point. You can have amazing vision, baseball vision, but at one point there is a limitation on discerning two objects from another. And then at that point you can't see further than that. Even with hearing, you see, if there's someone in the vicinity, you can catch those sound waves into your, you know, the cells in the ears, and we're able to hear. But then what if I ask you what's happening 5 miles down the road? Unless it's a loud explosion or some type of loud noise or like a thunder, it's very hard to tell. What if I ask you, can you hear what's going on halfway across the world where our brothers and sisters are being bombed in Gaza? Well, that's hard to tell. We can't hear that. That's our limitation of the ears. There's limitations in also smelling things. We can't smell things obviously past a certain distance unless it comes close. Same thing with our muscles. Even the most heavy body lifter, the most, you know, power lifter in the world, ask them to, for example, bench curl about, you know, like 200 to 300 pounds. I mean, there's limitations on those muscles as well. It gets to a certain point. Well, just as how every single body part and sense of the human body has a limitation, so does this mind. So does this mind. So to understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's infinite existence, using a mind which cannot even comprehend every single thing, well then that is where the fallacy is. Because the question of man khalaq Allah, who created Allah, itself is not a valid question, because it does not, it goes against the definition of Allah and Rabb and Al-Hayy. Al-Hayy, the ever-living, to understand it, it means, and this is Imam Tahawi in his Aqidah Tahawiyah says, that Hayy means Hayyun la yamut, meaning that it's ever-living without a death. Azaliyah, which means abad, or forever. So that would mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lived in existence forever, an infinite amount. You can go complete regression backward, all the way back to, okay, for example, Adam alayhi salam. Let's go further than that. We'll go to the Malaika and the incident of Iblis. Okay, we'll go beyond that. Just the angels, we'll go beyond that. What about Jannah and Jahannam? Behind that, Kursi, and there's the Arsh. Well, beyond that, when there was only Allah, okay, does that mean that Allah came? No, Allah was always there. Go and keep going back, Allah will always be there, always was there. Allah is always here, meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the ever-living. He's even living now. And the last connotation is that Allah will always be. Allah was, is, and always will be. So even until the end. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala demonstrates His hayy as well, where He says, when the trumpet will be blown by the angel Israfil, what happens on that time? وَنُفِخَ فِي الصُّورِ. When the trumpet will be فَصَعِقَ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Every single person, being, existence, creation, will just perish, will die. فَصَعِقَ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا مَنْ شَاءَ اللَّهِ. Except whoever Allah wills. Even the one blowing the trumpet will die. Every single thing. At that moment Allah say, أَلْمُلْكُ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلَّهِ. Now the dominion today belongs to Allah. That doesn't mean that today the dominion doesn't belong to Allah, but on that day it will become super apparent, because there's no one in creation. It's only the Creator. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Hayy. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was, is, and always will be. كُلُّ شَيْءٍ هَالِكٌ إِلَّا وَجْهَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that every single thing will perish except His countenance, meaning His being. كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا فَانٍ. Everything will pass away. وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ. Only the countenance, or only Allah, will remain. ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. Deserving of honor and deserving of generosity. The second attribute, Al-Qayyum, this also has many different connotations. Al-Qayyum comes from the word Qawm, Qaf Waw Mim, which means to preserve, to stand, to hold up, to support. And then Qayyum comes from something called Ismul Mubalagha, or hyperbolized form. Hyperbolized meaning that it's an exaggerated form of the meaning, Qayyum. Another word that comes is Qayyam, Qayyum and Qayyam. So this has several different meanings. We'll go over two. The first one is self-established, which means that He Himself is establishing Himself, meaning that all of His actions or all of His beings and everything that He's taking care of, He's able to do it Himself. So He is self-sustaining or self-established. And the second meaning is that He is establishing everything. So He is establishing Himself, at the same time He is sustaining and preserving and establishing everyone and everything, not on this earth only, but all of existence, all of creation. So when we see the movements of the sun, the earth, and the moon, when we get our daylight, when we get our midday, evening, nighttime, we get the rotation of the days, the beginning of the months, when we see all of the stars in the heavens and the celestial objects that are there, all of that is being run by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is establishing it all. On this earth, to be able to stand up and prop ourselves up, Allah is giving us the ability to do that from His attribute of Al-Qayyum. And it's amazing how in the dua that we recite, the morning duas, the dua towards the end, right? It's Allahumma rahmataka arju fala takilni ila nafsi tarfata ayn. Do not leave fala takilni ila nafsi. Do not leave me to myself for even a blink of an eye, for not even 1 second, for not even a quick moment. Do not leave me to myself. Why is that? Because if we were to take care of ourselves for even a second, we wouldn't be able to establish anything. We would just prop and die. Imagine every single bone, organ, the heart, they're all beating at a rhythm with Allah's permission. But if have we ever consciously told ourselves that now I want to start digesting my food? Okay, now I want to allow my food to go into the small intestine and allow all of the different secretions to come in there so that I can digest my food. Okay, now I want it to move into the next organ. When was the last time we even thought about that? Now I'm going to tell myself my heart to beat a little faster. Okay, slow down my heart. Okay, make sure every single 0.8 seconds is the average heartbeat. Every single second, telling your heart to beat. Well, imagine every single second you're telling yourself that, okay, my heart needs to beat, my heart needs to beat. We wouldn't be able to think of anything else. So Allah is allowing that to happen because He's sustaining and preserving us with the word Al-Qayyum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُمْسِكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ أَن تَزُولَ. A beautiful ayah in Surah Fatir. He says, indeed, Allah is the one who holds the heavens and the earth in place. يُمْسِكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ أَن تَزُولَ. From it moving around or from them slipping up. وَلَا إِن زَالَتَا. And if the heavens and the earth were to move, إِنْ أَمْسَكَهُمَا مِنْ أَحَدٍ مِنْ بَعْدِ, there is no one in existence that can prop it back up. Allah is continuously doing this. He's continuously holding the heavens and the earth up. This is what Allah is saying from His attribute of Al-Qayyum. That He not only is self-sustaining, but He's also sustaining everything else. Now, these two words, Al-Hayyul Qayyum, we'll start with a couple more points about Hayy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى الْحَيِّ الَّذِي لَا يَمُوتِ. And He says, هُوَ الْحَيُّ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ فَدْعُوهُ. The context where Al-Hayy is coming in the Quran is the context of reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because how easy is it to rely on a perfect being that is always living, which means that He never gets tired, He never gets drowsy, He never goes to sleep, and He never dies. He is always there. That's why Allah says, وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى الْحَيِّ. Or فَدْعُوهُ, rely upon Him, make dua to Him. The ultimate reliance is when we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Upon our life, ask ourselves that whenever something hard comes our way, who do we or what do we immediately turn to? Allah is saying, وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى الْحَيِّ. Rely upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rely upon the ever-living. In the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of his last moments, when Abu Bakr radiallahu an came and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's Mubarak head was lying upon the lap of Aisha radiallahu anha and he passed away. Abu Bakr radiallahu an was tending to some matters outside of the city, so he wasn't there when the Prophet passed away. So he came, and once he heard the news, he came straight to his beloved's house, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Bakr radiallahu an came, he didn't speak to anyone. Aisha radiallahu anha is who? His daughter. His family, not some random woman, it's his daughter. So he goes in, but he says, and he goes straight to the beloved face of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he says, "Bi abi anta wa ummi." I swear by my father and my mother, wallahi la yajma'u Allahu alayka mawtatain. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu says, and imagine this is your best friend passing away. Oftentimes we have a close relative, a friend, a family member, someone we grew up with who passed away. Well, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu practically grew up with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and on top of that, he was very close to him. In fact, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is the only Sahaba in the Quran whose suhbah, or being a Sahaba, has evidence for it. Only in the Quran, only Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala establishes his suhbah in the Quran when He says, in the Quran about the incident of the cave. And he says, لا يجمع الله عليك موتتين. O my beloved, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah will not bring two deaths upon you. He will not bring two deaths upon you. أما الموتة التي كتبت عليك فقد متها. As for the only death you have to experience, you've already experienced it. You've passed away. There's no other death that you have to go through. Why was he like this? Because there's the death rattle. Towards death, it gets a little harder to breathe. He had a fever. You know, he was a little tired. Also, he was poisoned, of course, so he was slowly passing away. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu says, you will never be in suffering again because you don't have to go through this again. There's only one death that you have to go through. He left the house after that, after kissing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in between his eyebrows, right on top of his nose, on his forehead. And then he went out, and then he looked everywhere. He saw Uthman radiallahu anhu without a word to say, crying. He saw Umar radiallahu anhu saying, no one tell me that the Prophet has passed away, lest that I kill him. He's going around saying random things. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, he told Umar radiallahu anhu basically to be quiet and ijlis ya Umar, sit down. Umar radiallahu anhu wasn't even listening. He wasn't even listening to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu saying, sit down. Rather, what Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said was that he went straight to the minbar. And then everyone started gathering because, you know, someone's on the minbar. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was closest. Maybe he has something to say. And it was these words which gave a new life to all of the believers at that time. What did Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu say? And this is something that we live with. This is something that we understand, because this is how we should treat life. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu understood the goal of life. While it was a huge shock and probably a wound that would take him forever to recover from, he still had the end goal in sight. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, "Man kana ya'budu Muhammadan fa inna Muhammadan qad mat." Whoever used to worship Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, know very well that Muhammad has passed away. وَمَنْ كَانَ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهِ, and whoever from you worships Allah, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ حَيٌّ لَا يَمُوتُ, then know very well that Allah is Hayy. He is the ever-living, and He never passes away. This is the reason that we need. This is the only reason we need. This is why all of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala go back to this one. Because this is the one standing them all up. Al-Hayy, the ever-living. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-Hayy al-Qayyum. He starts, Allah, there is none worthy of worship except Him. Allah, there is no deity worthy of worship except Him. Al-Hayy al-Qayyum, the ever-living and the self-sustaining. Now, as for regarding it being Ismul A'zam, there are a couple of ahadith wherein the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, number one, an Anas radiallahu an kuntu jalisan ma'an nabiyyi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fil masjid wa rajulun yusalli. Anas radiallahu an reports that once I was sitting with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a majlis in the masjid, and a man was praying, and he said, فَقَالَ اللهم إني أسألك, O Allah, indeed I ask you, بأن لك الحمد, all praise belongs to you, لا إله إلا أنت, there is none worthy of worship except you, الحنان المنان, the one who gives plentifully and the one who is very kind, بديع السماوات والأرض, the originator of the heavens and the earth, يا ذا الجلال والإكرام, O the possessor, or O the one with might, grandeur, and generosity. Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, O the ever-living and O the self-sustaining. As'aluk, I ask of you. And then he made his dua. So the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فقال, دَعَ اللَّهَ بِاسْمِهِ الْأَعْظَمِ الَّذِي إِذَا دُعِيَ بِهِ أَجَابْ وَإِذَا سُئِلَ بِهِ أَعْطَى. رواهُ الترمذي. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that indeed this man has called upon Allah with his greatest name. The one that if you were to call upon him with it, your du'as will be answered. And the one if he is to ask with this name, he will be given. Rawahu Tirmidhi. And the whole point is that in this dua, when the Sahabi is praising Allah, he mentions Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum. So for something even more specific, Asma bint Zayd radiallahu anha, she said, قالت سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول, I heard Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم saying, في هاتين الآيتين الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم وألف لام ميم الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم إن فيهما اسم الله الأعظم. In the two ayahs of Surah Baqarah and Surah Ali Imran, Surah Ayatul Kursi and the second ayah of Surah Baqarah, in it lies the greatest name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another hadith, اسم الله الأعظم الذي إذا دعي به أجاب في ثلاث سور. The name of Allah which, if someone were to ask with it, their prayers will be granted or their du'as will be accepted, are in three surahs. Surah Baqarah, Surah Ali Imran, and Surah Taha. It's found in Surah Baqarah, it's found in Surah Ali Imran, and it's found in Surah Taha. So the scholars have deduced that in these three surahs, Al-Hayyul Qayyum come. Al-Hayyul Qayyum come in all three surahs. There are many scholars who have said that then the Al-Ismul Azam, the greatest name of Allah, the one that you call with, then your answers, duas will be answered and your requests will be given, are Al-Hayyul Qayyum. Ayatul Kursi is something that we should recite often. Not just because Al-Hayyul Qayyum is mentioned therein, but rather, the Prophet of Allah says, "Man qara'a dubra kulli salatin maktubatin ayatul kursi," the one who recites ayatul kursi at the end of every salah, "lam yamna'hu min dukhulil jannah illa an yamut," the only thing standing in between him and Jannah is death. That is all. Just death. The path to Jannah is basically open by reciting ayatul kursi after every single salah. The reason to mention all of these ahadith regarding the Al-Ismul Azam. Now, what is the Al-Ismul Azam, the greatest name that scholars have talked about for centuries? The whole point of this discussion of Al-Ismul Azam is for us to use and praise Allah in as many ways as we can. We don't know which name that we can take of Allah that Allah will immediately answer our prayers. We have ahadith supporting different types of names. There are reports that say, you know, Allah is the greatest name of the greatest name. Allah. So taking Allah in your dua will answer your dua. There's Al-Hayyul Qayyum as well. And then it says that if you make dua with all of the 99 names of Allah, then your du'as will be accepted. The one who preserves the 99 names inside of his heart. Man ahsaha inna Allaha 99 asman man ahsaha dakhala al-jannah. The one who memorizes all 99 names, they will enter Jannah directly. So is it just that we concentrate on one or two names or a couple of names? The whole point of it, and to expand upon it where we take a step back, is that we use these names and we use all of his names. We don't know which one it is. It's kind of like searching for Laylatul Qadr. You don't just search on the 27th night or the 29th night, you search for all of the odd nights, which means that you treat 21st night as your Laylatul Qadr. You also treat 23rd, you also treat 25th, you also treat 27th, and you also treat 29th. You never know which one it is, so you act like all of them are Laylatul Qadr. And perhaps, inshallah, you will get it, or I will get it. Just like that, we take all of the names, hopefully we will get Al-Ismul Azam, and Allah will answer our du'as. There are a couple of du'as as well that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has taught us with Al-Hayyul Qayyum. After going through the du'as and some final points, inshallah, we will end. So some ahadith regarding the Al-Hayyul Qayyum. Number one, من قال حين يأوي إلى فراشه, the one who says right when he hits his bed or before he's about to go to sleep, أستغفر الله العظيم الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم وأتوب إليه ثلاث مرات. The one who says أستغفر الله الذي, in another narration, أستغفر الله العظيم الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم وأتوب إليه, three times. غفر الله ذنوبه, Allah will forgive his sins. But now the Prophet of Allah explains, because there are those who feel that their sins are a lot or they weigh a lot. So for how can Allah forgive all of those sins? Well, first off, Allah has no limitations. So it's given that He can obviously forgive any and all sins. Any and all sins. قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. Allah forgives all sins. So the Prophet of Allah says, وَإِن كَانَتْ مِثْلَ زَبَدِ الْبَحَرِ وَإِن كَانَ عَدَدَ وَرَقِ الشَّجَرِ وَإِن كَانَتْ عَدَدَ رَمْلِ عَالِجِ أَوْ أَيَّامَ الدُّنْيَا. Allah subhanahu, the Prophet of Allah says that even if his sins amount to the foam of the oceans, if we were to go to the beach and you see the foam rising towards the tide, that's what the Prophet of Allah is speaking of. Even if his sins amount to the foam of the ocean, وَعَدَدَ وَرَقِ الْأَشْجَارِ وَعَدَدَ وَرَقِ الشَّجَرِ, or the leaves of the trees, وَإِن كَانَتْ عَدَدَ رَمْلِ عَالِجِ, or the sand, or the remnants of sand in deserts, أو أيام الدنيا, or if they were to number the days of the beginning of time until the end of time. What are all of these phrases mean? It means that these are things that you cannot count. Even though they are limited, there's so much that we say that there's too many, that we cannot count. That the Prophet of Allah is saying that even if you have sins, you feel that you have sins, which are so much, so many, uncountable, like the remnants of sand in a desert, or the droplets of water in an ocean, or the leaves on trees in the whole world, or all of the days from the beginning of time until the end of time, Allah will still forgive. غَفَرَ اللَّهُ ذُنُوبَهُ. It's such an easy hack. أَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ الَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ الْحَيُّ الْقَيُّمُ وَأَتُوبُ إِلَيْهِ. The second dua that we can learn from Al-Hayyul Qayyum, عن أنس رضي الله عنه, قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لفاطمة. Anas radiallahu anhu narrates that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to his daughter Fatima radiallahu anha, مَا يَمْنَعُكِ أَن تَسْمَعِي مَا أُوصِيكَ بِهِ مَا أُوصِيكِ بِهِ. What is stopping you from listening to what I'm trying to say? It's an expression meaning that I'm giving you some advice. Listen to what I'm saying. أَن تَقُولِي إِذَا أَصْبَحْتَ إِذَا أَصْبَحْتِ وَإِذَا أَمْسَيْتِ. That when you wake up in the morning and when it's the evening time, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, bi rahmatika astaghith, aslih li sha'ni kullah, wa la takilni ila nafsi tarfat ayn. This is the dua every single morning and every single evening that the Prophet of Allah has taught us to read. This is why this is contained in the morning duas that we read every single day. What is stopping you from reading this? It's a rhetorical question. There shouldn't be anything, because it takes almost 7 seconds in total. And the last thing that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and this dua was mentioned in Nisa'i, إِذَا نَزَلَ بِهِ أي, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, هَمٌ أَوْ غَمٌ, when a time of difficulty, when a time of sadness, or in time of anxiety were to come upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there's an incident even mentioned with Ali radiallahu anhu in the time of Uhud or Badr, one of the two battles, and when it was getting difficult, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam read this dua, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum. O Allah the ever-living, O Allah the all-sustaining. The Prophet of Allah read this in hard times. So this is something that we can read as well. So the first dua, Astaghfirullah alladhi la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum wa atubu ilayh, 3 times before going to bed. The other dua is, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, bi rahmatika astaghith, aslih li sha'ni kullah, wa la takilni ila nafsi tarfat ayn. Once in the morning, once in the evening. Very simple du'as. These are masnoon ad'iyah. These are the sunnah du'as that are mentioned by the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for us to take heed. And we can read it every day. And then Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, making that for when it gets hard for us, or when our chest feels tight, or when anxiety or a hard time comes, relying upon Allah, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum. This is the essence when Allah says, وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى الْحَيِّ الَّذِي لَا يَمُوتُ. Rely upon the one who is ever living and the one who never passes away. How can we bring these two qualities into our life? Well, the quality of life is number one. How can we live a very full life? We should be trying to live a very full life as much as we can. How do we live a full life? Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اسْتَجِيبُوا. O you who believe, answer the call of Allah. Istajibu lillahi wa lirrasul. Of Allah and His Messenger. إِذَا دَعَاكُمْ When they call you, لِمَا يُحْيِيكُمْ To that which gives you life, which is the deen of Allah. This is the deen of Allah. So revive our lives. Revive our lives by calling and coming to the call of Allah for us to get closer to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why even the retreat that's coming up, this is the revivalist, the ones who give life to the deen again. The revivalist is someone who gives life to the deen again. Allah chooses from His ummah in certain generations, He will send a mujaddid or a revivalist. Someone who revives the life of Islam. How are we reviving the life of Islam into our own lives? This is something that inshallah we can also learn even next week during the retreat. And the last is qayyum, to be self-sustaining as much as we can. Meaning that we try to be independent of others. We shouldn't make it a point to rely on others. Try having a life where you take care of yourself and your family. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Kullukum ra'in." Every one of you is a shepherd. "Wa kullukum mas'ulun 'an ra'iyati." You will be asked about your flock. Take care. We need to take care of our flock, take care of our families, take care of ourselves. "Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu qu anfusakum." Save yourselves. "Wa ahlikum," and then your families, "nara," from the fire of Jahannam. So that is our primary duty, taking care of ourselves and our families. And if that's the most that we can do. If we can go further than that, then expand as much as we can. But that's how we can be sustaining of ourselves. In conclusion, these two attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Hayy Al-Qayyum, hold a huge weight in our life. Every single attribute regarding the self of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes back to Al-Hayy. Because all of them require Him to be ever-living. All of His actions, meaning the act of forgiving, the act of showing mercy, all of these actions go back to Al-Qayyum. Which is why when I started, I said all of the attributes go back to these two, Al-Hayyul Qayyum. So we use these attributes as much as we can, with the hope that Allah will accept our du'as. Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum. Through these names, based off the ahadith, saying that these are Al-Ismul A'zam, these two together are the greatest name of Allah. Insha'Allah, Allah will definitely accept all of our du'as. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us a reality of Him. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give His ma'rifah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the ability to continue to talk about all of the qualities of Him so that it's easy for us to remember Him, not even outside, but also inside of salah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the reality of Al-Hayy Al-Qayyum, give us the ability to use these names, and that give us the ability to have our du'as accepted. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum wa li sa'ilil muslimin. Fastaghfiruhu innahu huwal ghafurur rahim. Jazakallahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.